The National Academy of Public Administration has elected a new set of fellows to report to Congress on some of the most complex management and policy issues in government. Ellen Herbst is the Chief Financial Officer and Assistant Secretary for Administration at the Commerce Department, and she's one of those newly elected NAPA fellows. Herbst tells Emily Kopp how she can contribute to the Academy's work.
It still hasn't sunk in that I will be part of a group that has people who have been working for 20, 30, 40 years to make the federal government a better place and deliver better mission. And I walk into it with a very open mind as to what initiatives and projects I can contribute to. I do think having a private sector background might be helpful to the NAPA project in that I've spent about 25 years in the private sector prior to coming to government. I've been with the government now for almost 9.5 years. And there's a number of similarities as well as some differences that might be useful in working with other NAPA fellows.
And do you remember 10 years ago, I want to talk a little bit about that moment, when you first came to government, what sort of notions about best practices were you taking with you from the private sector, and how did those work in government?
Oh, that's a great question. So in the private sector, and I spent a number of years with DuPont as a very large company and learned a lot of good management techniques, both formally and informally, and then worked at a number of companies of various sizes. So coming into the government, I made the choice to want to be a part of something bigger than any individual company's success and wanting to give back. And I thought the things that I brought to the government would be those management skills that I'd been so fortunate to have other people help me develop over all those years. So some of the key tenets that I learned and I think I brought to the government were, first of all, outcome-driven management and leadership, so always looking towards what you're trying to accomplish. In the case of the private sector, on behalf of your customer and company. In the case of the federal government, on behalf of the mission. And then using data as often as possible to help drive decision-making is another key thing. And I was very fortunate coming into the government where I did within commerce and within NTIS because both from a mission and a culture standpoint, commerce is a very data-driven organization. And then I think the other thing that the third kind of leg of the stool, if you will, was the idea that employees are your assets. They are the key investments in the organization. We used to have a saying in the private sector that your assets walk out the door every night and you want them to come back the next morning and you want to invest in them to, you know, so that they can deliver the best they can on behalf of the mission. So those were the things that I think I walked in the door with some experience around. And I got to say, they're all applicable within the federal government.
And those are all things that you hear, and you came in before the Obama administration, but those are sort of tenets of this administration, especially using that data for decisions. Now, when you came in, you were the head of the National Technical Information Service, which is an interesting agency. It's a small agency. It's a clearinghouse for government-funded research, and it gets dinged every now and again for doing that in this day and age. I know some people have questioned whether there's still a need for it. Considering the challenges, what were your first learning experiences about government when you came in?
Well, I think, again, I was very fortunate to come into the government as the director of NTIS. NTIS, because it is completely fee-for-service organization, has to deliver value to people every single day because NTIS lives on the value that other people are willing to give it for the services and products it produces. So that idea of being very value-oriented and very customer-oriented felt very comfortable to me coming in from the private sector. And in fact, that's what NTIS does. It allowed me the opportunity as I progressed, and I would say when I came to the department on detail to coordinate and lead the Recovery Act effort at the beginning of the Obama administration, was by that time I had almost 4 years, I guess, under my belt at NTIS, and it had given me a good basis to then learn what I would say is kind of the more typical government environment of appropriations and some of the regulatory things we get into at the department level. So I feel very fortunate that I was able to start in a place that had a lot of the same values of value and customer-driven work so that I could grow into the federal government from a comfortable place.
We're speaking with Ellen Herbst, Chief Financial Officer and Assistant Secretary of Administration at the Commerce Department and a new fellow at the National Academy of Public Administration. You were speaking a few minutes ago about employees as assets to the organization. And in a little survey that Federal News Radio asked of all the NAPA fellows, you said that one of the biggest challenges facing the federal government is in recruiting and retaining the right people. How are you doing that at Commerce?
So I'm going to start with the strategic plan that we just updated last December and have been executing. And I start there because you have to have a good blueprint for what you're trying to achieve. And then you can make sure you are focusing on the key mission critical positions as a priority to identify, for instance, in our case, meteorologists and statisticians and patent examiners, et cetera. We do spend a lot of time, as does most of, if not all of the federal government, in listening to our employees with survey results and so forth. And we always put together plans with our employee work group as a result of getting survey results to tackle specific things our existing employees are telling us they'd like to see improved or the tools they need. So I think it starts from understanding the types of people, the skill sets you need to bring in. I think given that we have a lot of science in our department, we do a great job also of recruiting at universities across the country to bring people in. But I will tell you, it's a challenge. Our employees and potential employees don't always hear the most positive messages from all sources. And I think it's very important for leadership within the government to continue to communicate with our employees how much they're valued, how much their work means to the American people.
This is certainly an issue that you will probably, in your years as a NAPA fellow, be tackling from that perspective. Government writ large, what does it need to do to guarantee that years into the future, great people still want to work for it?
Well, look, nothing beats the mission of serving your citizens. It's why I came to the federal government. As I talk to my colleagues around the government, that's one of the key themes I hear. So we start out with a great advantage, which is, you know, federal government service, serving the American people is just a very high calling, and it keeps you going day in and day out. But that's not enough, obviously. I think some of the things you're seeing as pilot programs throughout the government, some of the work that the administration is leading to seek out that which a new generation of folks coming into the workforce want, more collaborative, more agile ways of doing things is one of the keys to recruiting in people. We ourselves, led by some of our own 30-somethings and 20-somethings, have put together a lot of affinity groups that are really starting to find themselves not just in support of themselves and their own careers, but they're starting to reach out and say, this is a way we can do things better. This is a way we can have more of an impact. And I think for retaining folks, it's so key that people feel that the work they do every single day actually makes a difference and that their voices are heard. So those are some of the areas for recruiting, if you will, the next generation and retaining them.
And along those lines, another one of your answers to our survey as to the best management advice you ever received, you listed a couple, but one is that you ensure that you are receiving diverse and wide-ranging input for decision-making. Tell us a little bit about how you do that on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I listen to a lot of people at all levels with different viewpoints. Somewhere early in my career, somebody said to me, there are at least as many viewpoints as there are people or groups involved in the situation. So we would call them stakeholders, both inside and outside the government. And I also use a mindset that I learned when I was in sales. When you're in industrial sales, to be successful over the long term, You have to learn to put yourself in the other person's shoes and understand what's important to them and where they're coming from. And more times than not, I find when there's a disagreement about how to move ahead, it's because people are focusing on a different part of the problem or a different part of the solution from what they need to see happen. And, you know, it might take a little longer to drive towards consensus, but generally speaking, you have a richer, fuller outcome if you take the time to make sure people, you hear from as many different people as you can. Now, to balance that, you need to gather data wherever you can. So it's not just asking people for their opinions. It's asking them to bring whatever relevant information applies along with their informed opinion.